This remains embedded in the ancient Near East, in many of its gods and goddesses, and it even goes down later into Greek and Roman myth and is remembered in stories, for example, of Venus and Adonis. So it may be, I emphasize, that on Crete we had an Earth Mother and we had a virile male consort. But I can't give you their names. I cannot give you a single line of any hymn sung in their honor at all. All we can do is extrapolate from silent archaeological evidence and analogous evidence from other places. Some of these, I think, are a fairly safe bet. What we can say, and normally I wouldn't talk in terms of aesthetics because this is so subjective, but what we can say is that we have very clear evidence that this Minoan culture was an extraordinarily sensitive culture, a culture that was alive to the beauty of the natural world around it, and was also alive to human beauty as well. One of the most famous frescoes excavated at Knossos is one which Sir Arthur Evans' excavators turned up soon after they'd started digging. And when they found this piece of plaster with the head of a woman shown in profile with her ruby red lipstick and her hair pulled back into a gorgeous hairdo, she was dubbed La Parisienne, the Parisian girl, because she looks like a beautiful girl of the Parisian demi-monde of the turn of the century. And we have very many other frescoes that similarly show elegant, beautiful Minoan women and young, handsome Minoan men. Now, this is obviously, in some respects, an idealized version of what their society is. I presume there were some old and wrinkled Minoans somewhere, but we don't see many of them in our evidence. What instead we see is a culture which was alive to beauty and liked to decorate its walls with motifs such as dolphins to show the beauty of the sea that the Minoans were themselves trading in as they made their way around the eastern Mediterranean. This brings us then to the other aspect of the palaces that I've touched upon, and that is that in addition to being administrative centres, political centres, centres of power, and in addition to being associated with this religious system of ideas, they are also the centre of the economy. And this is really a critical part of Minoan society. Minoan culture is often referred to as a redistributive economy. And what we mean by that is that the palaces serve as a nodal point, and produce from the surrounding countryside, staples such as grain, wool, and oil, are brought in from the countryside and stored in these great pithoi in the magazines, and then in turn are redistributed out to people as they need them. In addition to this control of the staple economy, it also looks as if the palaces, as you would expect, since they are the homes of the elite, of the kings and queens and princes and so forth, are also the centre of an international trade. And it's from here, it's in these palaces, that we will find examples of perfume, of metal, metal being brought in its raw state and turned into beautifully worked metal objects, fabrics being imported from the outside world, precious woods from the eastern Mediterranean, spices, these sorts of things. These are not being traded by farmers up in the mountains. These are being brought in for princes. They are stored here and then redistributed out. So we can think of the palaces as being the center in every respect for all parts of Minoan life. Now, I've been referring both to national trade in staples, if you will, and the goods produced around Knossos and around Malia, where farmers are probably under the control or closely connected to the palace, but also this international trade, goods coming in from overseas. And it's from these excavations in Crete that we find conclusive evidence that the Cretans were in contact with many of the other great cultures of the eastern Mediterranean during the Bronze Age. In other words, you will find scarabs, pieces of lapis lazuli. You will find seals and rings made of gold or cut from amber that were made in other parts of the eastern Mediterranean, in Mesopotamia, in Syria, in Cyprus, and in Egypt, making their way to Crete. And so, in a way, we should change our focus. And instead of thinking of Crete as the first Greek Bronze Age culture, let's think of it in these terms, as being the farthest west of the whole range of Bronze Age cultures which existed over the Eastern Mediterranean in the second half of the second millennium BC.